Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jay Kranda. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Actually, you always have me. So, can we get something out? I just want to get something out.
Let's get it out there.
You ask me that question every week, and I never know how to respond. It's like my brain blank. Thanks for having, like, because we've usually, before, just for everyone who's listening or you're watching on YouTube, we've usually been talking for like 5 to 10 minutes prior to the show, and then we start. So I feel like I want a different question because it's like a political, like hard, it's like a curveball. You know what I mean? Okay. So I need
the next episode, and I'm gonna blindside you. Like, you're gonna get a question at the beginning of the show that we hadn't talked about, and I'm gonna need an immediate answer. So that's how we're gonna shift the show.
Okay.
Is you are going to answer that. And I just, you know, I just said shift, S-H-I-F-T. And what this made me think of is we just had a guest speaker come and we got a sermon clip out of it. And it sure sounded like he didn't say the F. When and I was like, I think we need to not use that one on social media. So luckily on this show, I just wanted to clarify what it is that I said.
Oh, thank you. Good.
That happened. So we said on the last episode, Jay, that we were going to share, we're both big readers. We're going to share two books that we've read most recently that have impacted or influenced us in some way. So I'm curious, Jay, you to go first. What are your two books?
Yeah. So one book that I just finished reading recently was True North by Bill George. It's it's been out for a little bit. It's not necessarily a new book, but I love it because what it does is it's one of those books that's on Harvard Business Review. It's one of those books that they're always talking about, but it's about really what's your true north or your purpose in life as a leader. And he breaks down kind of a way to kind of filter out your true north. And what I really loved about it is he said the first 1 to 30 in your life is all about learning how to lead. You're rubbing up against the world and figuring out who you are and how to lead. And then kind of 30 to 60 is when you're leading. And then really from 50 to when you die or 60 till when you die, it's about you giving back as a leader. And so he kind of breaks that down. And so that is a book that I read. It's one of those books. Honestly, it's really impacted the way I lead and the way I think about. I have a good understanding of how I lead, but it's really shaped some of the words. And now it's kind of I've actually recommended. I have a PDF summary of it. And I've given it to a bunch of people that have thought about going into ministry or leading in different ways. They say, hey, you need to read this to challenge you. So it's one of those books. And the other one that I've been reading, and I'm actually doing an Audible of it. And some of my friends, we argue about if Audible is actually reading. I think it is.
I agree.
So I've been going through The Lean Startup by Eric Ries, R-I-E-S, The Lean Startup. And that's
I thought it's Reese. So Eric Ries. I don't know. I just thought I don't. Just heard it.
I know. I'm so lost. I'm terrible at names. And so that's been a good book. I got a little bit more to go in that, but pretty much the idea about rapid prototyping. So all this money is wasted in building the perfect thing, but you never really know if the people want that. You want that, but maybe you might be a couple million and all these years invested. But why don't you just produce a prototype real quick, test it, and then learn from that. So we've all been there where you think a program's going to be it or maybe a blog post or a book or whatever it's going to be, and nobody responds. But how much in companies and organizations, how much is wasted? And with startups, there's this unique quality that you can produce something real quick, and he uses tons of examples. And so those are real. True North and Lean Startup are two things I'm reading right now. That have kind of challenged and I'm working through. How about you, Niels? What are two books you've been going through?
Yeah, so the two books, both my executive pastor and my senior pastor had recommended to me. So the first is Revolution, The Story of the Early Church by Gene Edwards. So it's an older book. I don't know how many years it's been out, but you can just tell by the cover it's pretty dated. I don't think there is a Kindle version of it. Really interesting the way they kind of lay out, you know, the Acts church and kind of the early church and giving you a perspective of the early church. And you can see kind of a leaning towards the house church movement, even in his writings, his perspective So I'm seeing now 1974 is when the book was written. And so really an interesting book. And my team at CBC is going through it together. So it's a great read and really an interesting perspective on the early church. And then the other book that I'm reading, I say I picked it up. I also read this one on Audible. I bought the book and I was reading it so slow that I wanted to get through it faster. So I downloaded it on Audible so I could put on 1.5 speed, which actually allows me to read faster. So that's Exponential Organizations. I want to look up the author real quick, by Salim Ismail. And this book, like I lit up and I honestly shut down what I was doing for about a day. It seems so I could like really soak in the book.
Oh wow.
We're going to, after we finish Revolution with my team, we're going to jump into this book next and go through it as a team. So I'm eager to go through it slowly. But it really piqued my interest when it comes to innovation. They look at Airbnb, some of these new organizations, Ubers, these organizations that have really used data to really develop these kind of exponential organizations that are growing so fast, reaching so many people. And really the cap is off. And I think that it directly applies to the church. Now I don't think we know what that looks like. We see Life Church and, Saddleback with the multi-sites and kind of reproducing themselves at a fairly fast rate. But I think there's a whole nother level that we haven't even touched yet. And I think this book really stirs a lot of ideas. We don't really know what that means. I don't know what that means at least, but it's getting me thinking further and faster. Yeah. So I think it's a great read to be thinking about. And Audible, I think, is a great resource for people that want to jump into books and dig deeper into that stuff.
Yeah. And I would say that for sure. Do Audible. I mean, there's tons of podcasts as well, but I think that's a big thing. You know, if you're leading, you're a learner, you need to always be challenging. And there's so much content. And that's why we want to highlight a little bit more regularly what we're reading and what we're going through, because I think it's hard to pick and kind of narrow down, you know, what you should be reading. But hopefully, for those who are listening, if you got something you're going through, recommend it to us, Hashtag SMC podcast. We would love to see what you're reading, because there's so many gems out there, so many things, both the books that I'm going through, two different friends recommended me to listen to them. And so it's one of those things that I tend to just listen. Hey, what are you reading? And even as you're sharing that stuff, I'm curious, like a book that got you like focused and down, like I'm going to be checking that out.
Maybe we'll do like a book podcast where we talk about it. But if you're listening, share what books you're reading, hashtag SMC podcast, so that we can read and learn, and maybe as a community learn together, and read books and drink iced coffee like Jay is doing. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not watching on YouTube, go watch on YouTube. Check out what Jay is drinking. I don't know if it's legal. I don't know what that is in a jar.
I am a pastor on staff at Saddleback Church, and I'm officially not allowed to drink. So this is coffee.
What does official mean? Is that official? It's officially coffee. We're gonna get into the.
What's that guy from? What's the show? He does the Heineken commercials, and he recently hosted the show. But anyways, he does the Heineken commercials, and he's a comic, and he goes like. He's promoting the Heineken, and he says, we will literally put our money where our mouth is. And he makes a joke about literally, like, no, that's not literally. That's the wrong use of literally. And he makes this, How I Met My Mother. He's the one of the, I don't watch that show, but he's the.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm so terrible. That's why.
Marshall.
Marshall. Yeah. That guy. Right. So he goes, literally, I'm sorry for that total squirrel moment in the middle of the show.
Yes. How I Met Your Mother is a great show, though. And yes, I'm going to go through it again now that I'm in New York.
I like that.
Another tangent.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about scheduling content.
So
I know this is something we've talked about in different areas. We dive in way deeper in our books about different resources and even resources that I've used there, some of that has even changed since we've written some of our stuff. So scheduling content, Nils, why don't you just kick it off? What does that mean to schedule content with social media? How do you do that? And what are some things that you would recommend?
Yeah. So, and a lot of it, you'll hear the term automating social media, and a lot of people will talk negatively about it. Like, how can you you don't automate social interactions. You don't automate a lunch with a friend. You don't automate a sermon that you preach. I mean, these are things that you just do organically and social media shouldn't be that way. Now, I disagree with that. I think there are interactions. You don't necessarily want to automate the interactions, but I do think that you can automate the content that you're sharing and distributing, and I think there's some great tools to do that. And so what I personally prefer, and I've come over the last maybe 18 months, really dug deep into a program called Social Report. And I first was drawn to it because of the reporting aspects. They could really give, I'm big into analytics and data and understanding that side of it. So I like their data they were able to give. And they even tell us we have this many percentage of men to female, the average age, the primary platform. So some great data. But what we primarily use it for now is our scheduling. And so as we have content, as we create content as a church or as we create content for any of our clients, we're just scheduling it out and then distributing it to different platforms or tweaking it even as we send it to these different platforms. And so it kind of creates a calendar where content is then able to be scheduled out. At CBC, we create everything on Monday and we schedule it out for the week. And we're able to do that right there within Social Report to all of our social networks. We actually use another program through Crowdfire that lets us automate through Instagram. So a lot of people want to automate through Instagram. It's never been possible. I don't know how they're doing it, but you can.
Interesting.
Through Crowdfire. So that's the first opportunity through Instagram. Now they say automation will sometimes kill social media. It just becomes marketers begin to get spammy. That's true. But I think there's an efficiency where so many church leaders don't get on social media because it is so time consuming. So I think you have to have that balance of create some content, but leave some flexibility so that if you have a personal, maybe an immediate post you want to share, we don't schedule content for the weekends. We use the weekends to be kind of organic in our post and almost live in nature. And then during the week is our scheduled content. So that's how we manage it. Social Report is the primary tool we use. And it's a great platform. Jay, I'm curious what you do and what you recommend.
Yeah, and I've struggled with this because I used to be more of my role was engaged on getting content out constantly, at least for my church. I used to have a Facebook page that I managed, multiple pages. Now, at least my day-to-day job, I'm not so much engaged on the content that's going up. And so I used to schedule a lot, and we had these debates a couple of years ago where, should we schedule using a Hootsuite.com or should we schedule stuff organically on Facebook when they release the scheduling feature. I'm definitely, I definitely believe in a hybrid of scheduling content and allowing for content to organic. Cause I think one thing is true. And we talk about this is consistency is so important. Yes. You need to have consistent content, and there's nothing wrong with thinking through even the narrative of your content on your channels or in a 7-day period.
Yeah.
And thinking about what should Monday look like? What should Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? And I don't think there's a big deal in allowing. So I know a lot of churches do this, and we've encouraged churches to do this, and other churches have modeled this, where now you schedule out your 7-day period of content, but then you allow some real-time conversations. And so maybe during a service, you live tweet. So that stuff isn't, scheduled. It's just organically coming. Maybe on Monday or Tuesday, you have a Google Hangout or a Periscope moment. Where you're with the pastor and you're debriefing on the weekend, you can have a baseline content that I believe can be scheduled. And then on top of that, you have a more organic conversation. I think a big thing that people are realizing with a lot of the limitations that have popped up with Facebook limiting the amount of content, the way that you grow or better reach the people in your channel and externally is that you have to engage with trends on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so that isn't stuff you can schedule a plan. You have to be ready to engage. I remember one of the, and this is going to date the last time I was really engaged with content, at least at Saddleback, we had this, it was when President Obama won the presidency for his first term.
Yeah.
And there was this big, tension on social media about people who voted for either or and McCain, Obama. And there was so much tension. And I remember there was just a lot of negative feedback or super positive. And, for me in my role, it was kind of, I want to help educate. I think as specifically as a follower of Christ, you want to figure out how to engage. You want to engage with culture wisely, at least how Jesus would. Yes. And so it's that reject, receive, redeem moment with culture. And it's when you're seeing people in your community doing it wrong, you want to kind of lead. And I remember Rick in that moment, my pastor posted this photo of something he had said about, our hope isn't found in who's in the White House. our hope is in the cross. And what I loved about it was, it wasn't this negative thing about who won or lost, but it was reminding his community of, hey, ultimately, it's not important who's in the White House. Ultimately, as a follower of Christ in your worldview, it's about who, you know, what happened on the cross and how, you know, Jesus didn't stay dead. He resurrected. And I remember I took that photo that he had posted and we had reposted it on our channels. And I remember we had about 1,000% increase of any regular content. It was nuts. But what happened was I just took that and boom, put it on our channels and it went nuts. Wow. And I remember at that time we had a channel, our online campus channel. Online campus had a separate channel for the main Saddleback channel. And actually, my channel, a little prideful moment, that thing like blew up over the other channel in that moment. Yeah. But the reason why is that I was ready for that trend. I was ready. And so I think especially now, Facebook trends now being popular, you got to be ready to engage and you got to be wise in that. But I think a baseline scheduling and then being ready to engage in current stuff allows you to be proactive and schedule some of that stuff as well. But that's kind of what I do, what I have done. There's tons of people on, and what I would encourage anybody is be looking at what churches are doing. Be looking at what organizations are doing. Use that. You know, obviously, Niels, why don't you share a little bit as we're wrapping up this show, why don't you share a little bit about photos and why those are important, how you can even schedule that?
Yeah. So one best practice, especially when it comes to Facebook, is to not schedule through Hootsuite or Search Report to Facebook. Facebook actually has its own internal scheduling functionality. So as you upload photos, or if you upload videos, you can schedule those out to go up at a certain time. And so one of the things you can, you know, there's so much data that Facebook gives you with their insights. So you can see this is the peak time that people are on. So optimize that and say, you know what, I'm going to post these at 9 a.m. or I'm going to post these at 11 a.m. when I know more people are on, because when more people are on, they're more likely to share it, like it, engage with it, and get more out of that content. So organically posting them or natively posting them to Facebook, scheduling those out for the optimal times, those primary posts, and then visual, you know. So when I was at Facebook recently, they said, you know, video. That's where things are going. They're focused on video. So the more video content you can get up, the better. And then images and you know, pictures obviously catch the eye and do very well. The other thing, you know, recommendation I would make is to be ready to unschedule. And so if you have content scheduled, and just as you shared, Jay, when there's that key moment going on, you know, you've got to be ready to post something, but be ready to unschedule some other things that you posted, because here's what happens. We just recently had the stuff that went on with the Supreme Court ruling, you know, with homosexual marriage, and it was a hot spot. And what church members do, I believe, and this is just my intuition, is that they think, what does my pastor have to say about this? What does my church have to say about this? Yeah. So they're going to our pages and they're waiting for us to post. And then as ministry leaders, we don't know what to say sometimes. But what happens is, because we have scheduled content there, we're saying something and it's irrelevant, and it makes us feel like we're disconnected from what's going on. And it's as if we don't even know what's going on in the culture around us. And so I think we need to be ready in those times. If we're not going to say anything, we at least need to unschedule everything else to make sure that we don't sound irrelevant and at the end of the day, ignorant.
Yeah, I think I love that. I think that's totally wise. And I know for those who are listening, that's hard because it takes time. But I think that's the thing, is that we are not doing this because it's easy or necessarily because, you know, we can streamline things. There's going to be part of this role of scheduling that it can make it easier. But you ultimately, you're trying to represent who you are as a church, as an entity, wisely to the community, ultimately for more people to come to know Jesus and ultimately more people to come to live for him effectively. And so that's going to sometimes take some extra work, some extra energy. So be aware of that. I mean, I think that's more and more we're talking about this idea, and you should be knowing if you're a core listener of our podcast that, you know, online identity isn't just something that you can just throw up and throw together haphazardly. You should take it as seriously as you take your physical church. Just like you care about if there's trash on the ground or the lawn's, you know, cut right, you should care about your digital presence. That means being active, thinking about that. So I think having conversations with your church about these things, especially, you know, you can get a lot of, you can free yourself up if you schedule things wisely, but you're ready to unschedule and you're ready to do kind of more organic stuff. But again, we talk more about this in detail in our books. And so we'll put links to that in the show as well. And I did want to highlight real quick, Niels, as we're wrapping up, the iMinistry conference is coming up, And it's a conference that goes on in the Dallas area. And it's people get together. It's specifically for online ministry, but I'm going to be there. Nils, are you going to be able to make it? Are you coming?
I think so. I haven't locked in.
Oh, you haven't locked in? Okay, I was curious.
I'm going to try.
So I'm going to be there. Nils might be there. But if you're in the Dallas area, I would love to meet up with you and to see you. You know, please introduce yourself if you listen to the show. If you're able to come to the conference, we'll put a link to the conference as well. But we always love meeting our listeners. So please engage with us. Yep. So to learn more about the show, go to socialmedia.church. Please check us out on YouTube. DJ, the founder of this podcast, says I move a lot during the show, and he says, text me last week that I make him dizzy. And so check us out on YouTube. You can check out my fancy background and engage with the show. Recommend future show topics and anything else you want to know about us. And remember to share also what you're reading with SMC Podcast. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.